heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves, and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network, there are 3 email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have, or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611. R is Randy, U is Umbrella, T is Tom, H is Henry, @gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother 6 Eyes about any of his 6 Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the 6 Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at 6eyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all 3 cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Rosie, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern. 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2-F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and tonight we have Sister Emily manning the controls for us. So, Sister Emily, who do we got with us tonight?
As usual, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels. We got all the Smurfs, and we even got our Hunter and my dad after us.
Ah. So, just came. Doesn't look like we got anyone who may want to talk, but we always do talk about the main, what the show is going to be about. But just before we do that, hey, Emily, with the blind trucking, you know somebody wants us to haul a load.
Maybe.
You know what they need hauled?
What?
It's Ruthie. She wants a fresh load from the Roadkill Cafe, a big load of flat cat cakes.
She goes, no, she don't want them like that. She wants them alive, fluffy, and able to hug.
Nah, she says she wants them flat and round.
Oh, I think you're going to get hot water over there, Kenny.
She wants a whole load of them flat and round.
No, I know what she wants from the Roadkill Cafe, Kenny.
It's a dead deer to light.
No, Road Toad Alamode.
Yep, there we go. All right, well, now that we've had our fun, what we got for tonight's show, this was requested, this series, we're just starting a new series, this was requested by Sister Lila. Surprised she ain't in here with us, because this is her
not
topic.
Not yet, honey.
Well, she should have been here, because this is her series she requested. It's on love, caring, friends, friendship, and, of course, we added to that hatred as well, because this is talking about mainly the kind of love we're talking about is between two friends. We're not talking about the kind of love or caring between a husband or wife, or love between a person and God, or between a brother-sister, okay, or family love. We are talking about the friendship, like friendship love, how you treat your neighbor, etc. So this is the kind of love and caring we're talking about, and what the Bible has to say about that kind of love and caring, friends, friendship, and hatred. What does the Bible have to say about it? So we're going to be starting this series tonight, and our subheading tonight, this is part one, is about love, once again, between two friends. What kind of love did God say we should have for our neighbor and our friends? What does he say about that? So we'll be studying that tonight. Now, in the midst of that, of course, we have Brother Six. He is 13 for 16 so far. Last week, he got the wrong buzzer. Does he get the wrong buzzer again tonight? If so, we may be using sound effects that affect those that may affect those that have PTSD or other disorders, so just be aware of that.
But we're hoping he doesn't get the bad buzzer, but he breaks that and goes back to the good buzzer as he did for a long spell there. So we'll see how he does tonight with the song and poem. Then after we finish with our series on love, hatred, love, friendship, and all that, and our series specifically on love tonight, then Ruth is going to be taking us in Bible prophecy about prophecies concerning Christ's second coming in Bible prophecy tonight, she'll be telling us about. So you want to stick around for that to see what the Bible prophecies are concerning Christ's second coming. How close are we to it? By looking at the Bible prophecies, what does the Bible prophecy say about Christ's second coming? How close is he to coming back for us in the rapture? That kind of thing. And then after that, we're going to open up the mics for our question of the day. And once again, as always, that is basically your own opinion, neither right nor wrong answer. It's all based upon your own opinion. And then, finally, after closing prayer, we close with a Red Sylvine song, which everybody will love. And so, is everybody ready for a good show tonight?
Me and Ruthie said amen. Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it, guys. So here we go for another Friday night show with the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. Here we go. Amen. Get out your pad, pencil, brailler, whatever, quick note taker, whatever you use, and get ready to make some notes and get ready as we study about love between friends here. Here we go.
For those of you called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, you'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Tell about your first best friend. Tell about your first best friend. Amen. But right now, we're going to get into our new topic that we're starting, new series about love, caring, friends, friendship, and hatred. Love, caring, friends, friendship, and hatred found in the Bible. And specifically, we'll be talking first about love. This will be part one on love. Specifically, the kind of love we're talking about is between like friends, not the husband and wife type love, or the love found between man and God, but specifically between friends and neighbors. So that's what we'll be talking about. And our first scripture context is found in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 20. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 to 20. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another, and ye shall not swear by my name falsely. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. And whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to a husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death, because she was not free.
Now, do you see all those good points that we have here? About not stealing, not putting a stumbling block before the blind, or cursing the deaf, and so on and so forth. But it all was narrowed down in this text. You're not supposed to take revenge against those of your brethren or hold a grudge, but rather love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus himself reiterated that point in the New Testament. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. Ask yourself, how much do you love yourself? Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34. Leviticus 19, verses 33 and 34. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
And you notice here, it's talking about the stranger, which would be like a foreigner. Once again, how do you treat him? You don't hate him. You're supposed to love him as yourself. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 16 to 21. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 16 to 21. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God, that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen.
And once again, you notice it says to love the stranger. Why? Because God loved his people when they were strangers. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 25 to 27. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 25 to 27. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
How art the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Oh, Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I'm distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished?
Now here we find David talking about Jonathan, and he says that Jonathan had loved him with a love that surpassed even what a woman would love him with. So, there you got it. Once again, brotherly love that was a very strong love. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Psalms 109, verses 1 through 10. Psalms 109, verses 1 through 10. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me, evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he has shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places.
And here we find David saying that when he loved the people, they rewarded him for his love, hatred. And that's the way it usually is. When you try to love people the way God tells you to love them, they'll reward you for your love, hatred. And yet, if you do it God's way, it's the best way. All right, in our last scripture context before 6 has to try to redeem himself from last week with a bad buzzer and see if he can make himself, because he is 13 for 16, can he make it 14 for 17 today? We will go into our last scripture context before 6 has to guess the message in song and poem, and it's found in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 5 through 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 5 through 9. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, but go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning.
And here we find something real interesting. It says rebuke or give correction to a wise man. And what will he give you in exchange for that rebuke? Love. Why? Because he's going to take that rebuke and become wiser, especially when he knows he is wrong. Amen. All right. Well, now it's time to turn the mic over to 6, see if he can guess the common message in this song and in this poem. Amen.
Well, I had 2 weeks vacation coming, so I thought I'd drive down to Florida, spend some time with an old friend, date a few girls, make a few parties, and just kind of live it up again. So I packed up my car, and then I called my mom in Tennessee and told her what I'd planned to do. And she said, son, are you coming by? And I said, Mom, I'm really pushed for time. But honey, I'll see you in a week or two. And I was driving through this little town in Georgia when I remembered today is Mama's birthday. Well, I thought I'd just stop and wire some flowers. Shouldn't take too long, then I'd be on my way. So I walked in the flower shop, and the first thing I saw was this little boy with his eyes full of tears. And I said, son, what's wrong? And he said, Mama loves roses, and today's her birthday, and I haven't seen her in almost a year. Grandpa now, but I promised Mama some roses, because I talk to her all the time. I wanted to give her 5, because that's how old I am, but the lady said I couldn't buy them for just a dime.
feller's story kind of touched my heart. So I told the lady, just give him what he wanted and charge it to me. Well, that's when I told her to wire a dozen roses to my mama up in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. Well, I looked around, the little boy was gone. But all of a sudden, the door flew open and he came running back in. And he said, "Mister, I forgot to thank you for the roses." He smiled and shook my hand and ran back out again. Well, I started on out of town, and I was feeling real proud of myself for thinking of my mama and really caring. When I looked out my window, I saw that same little boy kneeling by a grave in an old cemetery. Well, I stopped my car and walked over to where the little boy was kneeling down, and he smiled up at me and he said, "This is where my mama stays. She says she sure does thank you for these pretty roses." Well, that's when I had to walk away. And I drove right back to that flower shop and I said, "Lady, have you sent those flowers to Tennessee?" And she said, "No, not yet." And I said, "Well, just never mind. I'll just take them back with me."
My mother. She was love. God sent her to us from above. No great careers, no one great deed could give her fame to fortune lean. As I recall her smiling face, I see a queen of stately grace. She wove a life of golden lace that time and tears cannot erase. She was my mother. She gave the most that there was to give. She knew no other way to live. She never wanted wealth or gold. Wounds she trained could not be sold. As memoirs of time unfold, I feel the love her life did hold. When her heart could give no more, God opened up another door to paradise and joys unknown, to reap the love so dearly sown. In obeying God, she truly won. He chose to give her peace and sweet repose. The work is over, new life begun. In obeying God, she truly won.
All right, Six, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
All right. The common thread of the song and poem is take nothing for granted, appreciate your mom while she's on earth. So take nothing for granted.
Well, this time you got it 100% correct. That's exactly it. Treat your mom good while she is alive. Give her roses while she yet lives.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Well, at least you didn't have to blow up no buzzers this week. Amen.
Amen. Definitely appreciate your mom. She brought you into this world, and you treat her good. That's your first queen. Before you get any wife, that's your first queen. So take care of her and honor her. And I'm definitely doing that since Papa Six Eyes is in heaven, so I'm definitely making sure Mama Six Eyes is okay. Amen.
Well, while you take care of Mama Six, we'll pause to hear about the great programming found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern,
5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. All right, and we're back and want to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, be a person number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of a broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. We want you to tell us about your first best friend. Tell us about your first best friend. Amen. But right now we're going to get back into our topic of love, caring, friends, friendship, and hatred, specifically love. We're talking about between neighbors and between friends, that kind of thing. But not we're not specifically talking about between God and man or man to God or between husband and wife. We're talking about specifically between friends and between brethren, and specifically, we're talking about that kind of love between brethren, that kind of thing. And our next scripture context is found in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11 to 14. Proverbs chapter 10, verses 11 to 14. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction.
And you notice here, it says, love covereth all sins. Well, that's exactly what happened when Jesus died on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us enough, and it covered all our sins. Amen. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Proverbs chapter 15, verses 15 to 18. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 15 to 18. All right. Ruthie, take us there.
All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife.
And you notice here it says, better is a dinner of herbs where love is. So it'd be like saying, where you got love, it's like having a dinner with seasoning in it. But can you imagine having dinner without spices in your food? You'd be like, ugh, flat as a pancake. So that's what it says. When you got love, it's better. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Proverbs chapter 17, verses 8 to 11. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 8 to 11. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
A gift is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him.
And here we find, he that covereth transgression seeketh love. Meaning, if you're willing to forgive sin in your brother, you seek love. But when you don't be willing to forgive, then you don't seek love. It's that simple. Jesus told us, if you want to be forgiven, you got to forgive. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in Proverbs chapter 27, verses 1 to 6. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 1 through 6. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful.
And here we find open rebuke is better than secret love. Can you imagine somebody that claims they love you, but in secret, but yet not willing to rebuke you when you're doing wrong? It says it's better to be openly rebuke you than to have secret love. Why? Because, as we studied earlier in a previous verse, that the wise person, when you rebuke them, they will love you. Amen. Now, our next scripture context is found in Song of Solomon 8, verses 5 to 7. Song of Solomon 8, verses 5 to 7. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned.
All right, we have a couple points we've got to make about love here. And the first is, it says, for love is strong as death. Now, how strong is death? Death will happen to every man, for it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And our second point is, it tells us that many waters cannot quench love. Think about that. All the oceans, etc., cannot drown or quench love. And our third point is, and it goes on to say, if a man gave everything in his whole household, all the money he had, for love, if he thought he could pay for it, he would be utterly condemned. Amen. All right. And now our next scripture context is found in, and this, of course, being our last scripture of the day, is found in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace.
And two things you find here very interesting. One, it says there's a time for embracing and a time to refrain from embracing. That means hugging. And a time to love and a time to hate. So there's times, each thing has its season and its time and purpose. Amen. So what do we find out tonight? We find that love we should do to our neighbor, to our brother, whatever, and that God expects it of us, and if we're, it's better to give rebuke to a wise person. In so doing, he will love us for that rebuke, and love covers a multitude of sin. Amen. But I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Tell us about your first best friend. Tell us about your first best friend. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause for station ID and a few chosen words, and we'll be right back with you. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2-F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. ready? Can't wait. Love you.
By Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Broken and the 7 miles are open and the seven trumpets sound. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Concerning Christ's second coming. God gave the Israelites 196 signs concerning the first coming of his son, and all of them were fulfilled exactly as God's word said they would be. God has given us, the Christians today, 257 signs for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All those signs for the second coming of Christ are plainly written in the Bible. Doesn't leave anything for anybody's imagination. The great sign for the return of Christ the second time is the establishment of a nation on the earth for the Israelitish people. This was accomplished on May 14, 1948, when Israel became a nation. Naturally, there are those people who always listen for something that they can criticize. Sometimes our ministry gets the information, and one of the most common gripes is they state the second coming of Christ is a great mystery, and we aren't supposed to know anything about it. Well, when the writer writes like that, they usually quote one verse of Scripture by saying, "No man knoweth the day nor the hour." It's perfectly true. No man knows the day nor the hour regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ. But in the Bible, we're given permission by Christ himself to be observers of the signs of our times. Now, here's the Scripture. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came, and tempting desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" Matthew 16:1-3, KJV. Here, in these three verses of Scripture, Jesus Christ is talking to the people of his day. They're asking for a sign from heaven, and Jesus rebukes them by telling them that they are able to observe the atmospheric conditions of the heavens in the morning and in the evening, and by so doing, they determined the kind of weather they're going to have. Then he concludes in the third verse, which we have just read, by saying, "O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" Here we have a portion of Scripture which authorizes every child of God to be observing world conditions in the light of fulfilled Bible prophecy. In other words, if we aren't observing the signs of our times, if we're not interested in the second coming of Christ, if we're going along leading a nominal Christian life with no thought of the soon coming of our blessed Savior from heaven, then the Scripture says we are hypocrites. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible said it. So upon the authority of God's word, we are observing certain conditions in the world, and the Bible tells us that when those conditions begin to take place, then we can expect the soon return of our blessed Savior. Scripture. And when these things, what things he's talking about, he's referring to the signs of our times, he's referring to things which are happening, which are we are able to see with a naked eye, begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:28, KJV. We're told here that when world situations, which in all reality are truly the signs of our times, begin to be formulated and come to pass, we who are Christians are to look up and rejoice because our redemption is drawing near. In other words, the nearer we get to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the more difficult world conditions are to become. The more restrictions will be imposed upon the people of the world, the more God's people will be tempted to become downhearted, the more our heads will be bowed low, laden down with the worries and the frustrations of this modern world. Therefore, as present world conditions press in upon us, as great calamitous events transpire, we who are Christians are not to wring our hands in despair. We're not to raise our voices two or three octaves higher than normal. were not to go running around in circles like chickens with their heads cut off, not knowing what to do. One of my grandpa's famous sayings, chicken with their head cut off. Oh, no. When these conditions come in upon us, we're to realize and know that such are according to the Word of God. They are the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. They are the signs of our times, and when we see them taking place, what are we to do? The Bible says we're to rejoice. Now, it'll be hard to rejoice. It'll be difficult, but the Bible says when we see those things happen, we are to rejoice. We are to rejoice by lifting up our heads, meaning that we will have them down, as it were, in despair, but we're to lift up our heads and be happy. Be happy about what? Because it's difficult to be happy under these circumstances. We're to be happy because our redemption is very near. When I say our redemption, I'm referring to the time when Jesus Christ will come back and redeem the bodies of those Christians who have fallen asleep, and those of us living at that time are to be changed. And the Bible says we're all going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the sky. That will make you rejoice. I know it does me. My friends, if that doesn't make you rejoice, there isn't too much hope you're truly a born-again child of God. So it's time you accept Jesus before it's too late. What are those signs or circumstances which everybody living on the earth today is familiar with its worldwide TV? After the church is translated and taken to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the Bible tells us that God is going to close up heaven and have no communication with the earth for 42 months. That 42 months will be the latter part of the so-called seven-year tribulation period. Scripture, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God on the earth, Revelation 11, 3-4. These two witnesses are to be granted great powers from God, such as calling fire down from heaven, causing it not to rain, turning water into blood, smiting the earth with various plagues, plus many others. Because of their unusual power and ministry, the Antichrist will have them slain, and their dead bodies will lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. Now, Scripture, and they of the people in kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Revelation 11, 9, KJV. The time these two witnesses are killed, there will be much gladness, much hilarious approval after their death, and their dead bodies lying in the streets of Jerusalem will be televised throughout the world so that the inhabitants of the earth will have absolute proof that they have been killed. Now, there's only one way the people of the world could possibly be able to see their dead bodies lying in the streets of Jerusalem. 35 years ago, it would have been impossible to prove what I'm about to say. But now that we have fantastic communication satellites circling the globe, it's possible to transmit signals carrying live pictures and voices to any place in the world. We have a modern 20th century miracle in the form of a worldwide TV. Regarding those two men, the Bible tells us, Scripture, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Revelation 11, 8, and 11. Therefore, for such miracles to take place on an international scale, that is, for the world to observe two dead human bodies, or corpses in this case, lying in a gutter of a Middle East city, TV on an international scope must be a reality. It is. We have it today. We're living in the evening of this age. May I call another prophecy to your attention, which we could very accurately label a latter-day prophecy. It's known to Bible students as lovers of pleasures. Let's look at this prophecy as recorded in the New Testament Scripture. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3, 1, 2, and 4 in your KJV. All one has to do to ascertain the accuracy of this prophecy and realize that we are now living in the day of its fulfillment is to carefully observe what's going on in America. For instance, sporting goods stores are selling ever-growing quantities of boats and camping equipment, hunting and fishing gear, water skis, and skin diving equipment like they were hotcakes with sales at an all-time high. Some 40 million American weekend sailors spend approximately $6 million for boats, motors, fuels, repairs, and other related items. There are some 40 million licensed hunters and fishermen in this country alone. Pity the poor fish, approximately 100,000 people go mountain climbing every weekend. Bowling is attracting better than 30 million people weekly. Approximately $7 million is spent on plays, operas, musicals, and concerts per year. About $150 million is spent annually on classical records for hi-fi and stereo sets, not to mention the other millions of dollars which are spent on expensive record players, multiplex stereo receivers, tape recorders, and such. 15 million amateur artists with varying degrees of skill in painting, sketching, and sculpting purchase about $30 million worth of supplies every year. Close to 2 million Americans are paying for second homes, which are used just occasionally for vacations and select weekends. The Bible tells us that in the last days, men are going to be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. The tragedy of the situation from a spiritual standpoint is that only about 10 or 15% of the American population ever attend a house of worship. Vast segments of our population are spending the one day when they could manifest their love for God in his house by indulging in those things which normally take every extra dollar available in the family budget. Bible says where a man's treasure is, where there will his heart be also. Well, I think we could worship the Lord every day of the week, not just Sunday, y'all. Therefore, I declare unto you that lovers of pleasures is a Bible declaration relative to the situation which will be prevailing in the last days prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is not only evidence in the United States of America alone, but also in practically every civilized country on the face of the earth where there is mass production of the modern conveniences of life. Therefore, as we look at the prophecies concerning Christ's second coming, let's be made to realize that the time for Christ's second coming is near. Let's be careful that it does not come and take us unawares. Through his prophetic telescope, the prophet Amos of the Old Testament was able to look down through the annals of time and see that in our present 20th century, the churches as a whole and the ministers of God will be proclaiming a modernistic gospel. Amos saw a watering down of God's urgent message in the last days, and he said so in a book bearing his name. Scripture, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but a hearing the words of the Lord. Amos 8:11. Of course, this is your KJV Bible. When the Apostle Paul was charging the young preacher, Timothy, the apostle was very careful to warn the young man that there would come a time when both preachers and congregations would not be preaching and hearing the true word of God. Scripture, for the time will come when they, the people, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. 2 Timothy 4:3-4 in your KJV. To show you the trend of events, a few years ago, one of the national monthly magazines published the scientific findings of a public opinion research poll taken among 100 divinity students. 8 leading theological schools were chosen for the poll. They included Yale Divinity School, Union Theological Seminary, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Augsburg Seminary in Minneapolis. Nearly one-third of the students were Methodist, 15% Baptist, 11% Episcopalian, 10% Presbyterians, 6% Congregationalists, and 6% Lutherans. The remaining 22% included members of the Church of God, the Church of the Brethren, the Pentecostal Church, and others who were not identified. The resulting figures, only 44% believed in the virgin birth, 29% believe there is a real heaven and a real hell, 6% believe that Jesus Christ ascended physically into heaven after his crucifixion. But here's the main point of the sad one I want to share with you. Only 1%, 1 in 100, believe that Jesus Christ would come the second time. That is sad. Everyone, you are, as a born-again Christian, partake of the communion service. You no doubt are familiar with the scripture which says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11:26. We are living today in a spiritual drought. Seminaries are having to close their doors because of a lack of students. Many seminaries are turning men out into the public ministry who do not believe the Word of God is God's Word. Therefore, what can you expect but a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord? Thank God we do have some theological schools and seminaries which do stand for the Word of God. Thank God we do have some churches which have a bold, brave, dedicated man behind the sacred desk who faithfully proclaims God's Word. Famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord is one of the signs of our times and tells us that the coming of Jesus Christ draweth nigh. Another worldwide situation having international significance is the formation of 10 nations in Europe. In 1957, a group of 6 nations signed the Treaty of Rome. The nations signing that treaty were France, Germany, Italy, Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands. Since they formed themselves into a union, they've grown tremendously powerful economically in Europe. Other nations are eager to join in with them. Many world leaders predict there will be in this generation a United States of Europe encompassing every nation from Ireland to the end of the Mediterranean Sea. Students of Bible prophecy have greatly anticipated such a political and military alliance because the Bible definitely speaks of 10 nations rising to power in Europe in the last days, and those 10 nations are to economically and militarily undergird Satan's Antichrist. Okay. Next scripture. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Of course, that's the Antichrist. These 10 kings have one mind, meaning they have come to an agreement and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Luke 17, verses 12 and 13. KJV. These 2 verses of scripture tell us in everyday language that 10 kingdoms, 10 countries, 10 nations in Europe will eventually come into power in the last days, and they will become politically and economically welded together into a working unit. Purpose of this alliance will be the undergirding and the strengthening of the beast of the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. Scripture, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, Antichrist, and so the words of God shall be fulfilled, Revelation 17, 17. Therefore, what we are seeing in the present formation of the common market nations, as well as in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization in Europe, is the coming together of the 10 toes of the 2 feet, of the image of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. There were 5 toes on each foot. It's in the day of the reviving or coming together, these 10 toes, that Jesus Christ will return to the earth at the time of his second advent. Scripture, in the days of his kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44, KJV. Therefore, as we continue to observe the shaping up of the so-called United States of Europe, we cannot help but believe that the time is getting ripe for the appearance of the Antichrist, who will spearhead major events in the closing days of this age. The United States of Europe is a situation relative to the signs of our times. If 10 nations are to be in power in the early part of the 7-year tribulation period, and then finally, in the last 42 months of that period of time, they're willing to give themselves wholly and completely over to the undergirding of the satanic Antichrist, it stands to reason the whole thing, in order to be culminated on schedule, must be forming at this very moment. and it must be according to the prophetic word of God. Situation of the 10 toes in Europe is one of the prophecies concerning Christ's second coming. Situation which I want to call your attention to right now is the one which the prophet Ezekiel was able to foresee some 600 years before the first coming of Christ when he wrote about a great military invasion of the state of Israel. Now here's the scripture. In the latter years, thou, of course this is Russia, the country to the north of Israel, shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. That's Ezekiel 38 and verse 8 in your KJV Bible. Okay, the Middle East will become very explosive in the immediate near future. Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. A major blow-up is in the offing along the ever-tense Israeli-Arab borders. All the time this warlike condition exists, the big bad bear from the north, and I'm again referring to Russia, is quietly infiltrating the Arab forces, always looking with a sharp eagle eye for an opportunity to stick her big foot inside the front door of tiny little Israel. These things are gradual. Sometimes it takes years for them to culminate in the eventual fulfillment of the prophecy, oftentimes spoken hundreds of years in advance. This is a situation relative to the 38th chapter of Ezekiel and the first 16 verses of the 39th chapter of the same book. Therefore, when I tell you that Russia is to the north of Israel, will eventually attack Israel, I'm going to do it. And I'm doing it because age-old scripture tells me that such will happen in the last days. Now, bear in mind, the explosive situation in the Middle East is part of the prophetic picture for the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is one of the prophecies concerning his second coming. Another prophecy relative to Christ's second coming is the fact that in the last days there is to be a gradual increase in the numbering system. Today we have a number for just about everything. In fact, no doubt in my early lifetime, if Christ's second coming doesn't take place real soon, you'll see the day that everybody will have a universal number. We have so many numbers now that we're just about becoming number happy. We have too many numbers. They all need to be consolidated into one universal number. Now, whether you know it or not, that's exactly the eventual program in the plan of Satan for gaining world control for his Antichrist, at which time all people throughout the entire world will live under an international numbering system. Scripture, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark, meaning a number or an insignia, in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it's a number of a man, and it's not a number of an organization or a system. It's a number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Revelation 13, verses 16 through 18. Presently, there are too many Joneses, Johnsons, Wilsons, and what have you, to keep all the names straight. But under the numbering system, there'll be no problem. What we see taking place in the world today, and especially here in the United States, is actually the groundwork being laid for the day when the satanic Antichrist will appear on the world scene and everybody will be identified through a numerical system. Scripture, and he causeth all to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or number or the name of the beast or the number of his name. That's Revelation 13, verses 16 through 17. Of course, this is in King James Version. Therefore, what we are seeing coming upon the world scene is really prophetic events casting their timely shadows before them. There's no point in wringing your hands and wondering what to do. The only correct thing to do is to make sure you're born again and spiritually ready to leave this old troubled world with its ever-growing satanic systems. If you're born again, you'll leave when Jesus Christ appears in the clouds of glory to take his church up to himself. Please remember, for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are recorded some 257 signs, pages of Holy Writ. More than 200 of them have already taken place. Okay, a situation relative to Christ's second coming, which is gaining momentum at a terrific rate and one which world leaders predict will culminate, is a galloping of the black horse across the stage of time. The Word of God points out that just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ, the world is to be plagued with universal famines. Scripture, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and behold, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of a barley for a penny. That's Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. For clarification purposes, may I say that bread sold by measure and weight in Scripture signifies a scarcity of food. I suggest you read Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 10 through 17. These two verses of Scripture in Revelation 6, which I have just spoke to about for you, are the biblical description of the food situation in the last days. And I would say right now, we're in some pretty serious food situations. It's to take place and reach its ultimate climax in the seven-year tribulation period. But it's to gain momentum in varying degrees before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds of glory to take his bride to heaven to be with him. Practically every major nation on the face of the earth is now having problems with its food situation. Practically every issue of the daily newspaper carries an account relative to famine or famine potentials. It's a sad situation. It's upon the human family because of a lack of worship to God and obedience to his commandments. We're living in tremendous days, and there's a growing spirit of impatience upon the world scene. But for those of us who are born again and children of the Most High God, through the new birth, the Bible specifically tells us that when we see such conditions as world famine existing on an international scale and then gaining momentum to such a place that multiplied millions are being affected, we're not to be unhappy or despondent. We're not to throw up our hands and want to commit suicide. We're not to rejoice in the fact that this is one of the signs of our times. And this, okay, we are to rejoice in the fact that this is one of the signs of our times, and the soon coming of Jesus Christ draws very near. It's with sorrow in my heart that I have to report such chaotic conditions existing, such as famine, with half of the population of the world going to bed hungry, and the possibility of multiplied millions of people dying in this century. But it's in the Bible, and woe be unto me if I declare not the whole counsel of God. Another situation, which I must touch upon, is the condition existing among our young people. Juvenile crime is on the increase on an international scale. The Bible says men, and when it says men, it refers to mankind, for men shall be lovers of their own selves without natural affection. You can read that in 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 3. Of course, this is in King James Version again. Please notice how mankind is becoming more selfish, more self-centered, and wrapped totally in himself in this day and age. This has affected our children. Juvenile crime is on the upswing. You can pretty well predict what the Federal Bureau of Investigation crime report will be next year by looking at this year's report and that adding from 8 to 15% in any particular category. Reason being, the restraints and control upon our children, upon the domestic unit, the home, have been lowered, and we now live in a day and age of every fellow for himself. This is one of the signs of our times, and it's one of the prophecies relative to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Another situation which I want to show you is that in the last days, immediately before the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's to be an increase in scoffers, and those people who poke fun at folk like myself who boldly and courageously declare the message of Christ's second coming. You would be amazed at the unkind, the unchristian, the uncivilized kind of letters that come across my desk every week. To read these letters, you would think that I was a complete ignoramus, void of my senses, have never gone to school a day in my life, and I should be put in an institution shut up for my life from humanity. In every age, God has had courageous men who declared to stand against the tide of scoffers and agnostics and faithfully declare God's message. I'm not boasting in the flesh, God forbid. If I appear to be boasting, my boasting is in the Lord. I'm glad to be one of those women, or God's women, for this day and age. Allow me to read two verses of Scripture from Peter's second epistle. scriptures, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, KJV. In other words, people who do not believe the Bible and people who do not believe we are living in the end of this age and have no promise in their own hearts of Christ's second coming are saying there isn't any need to look for Christ's second coming. They're saying that this world is going on and on because it's been going on for generations. They don't realize that there must come a day of reckoning, and that day of reckoning will be at the second coming of Christ. God is going to set up accounts with this old world, and this world sinners one of these days, and those scoffers who ridiculed the preaching of the second coming of Christ are going to be paid in full with interest compounded. Therefore, I declare unto you that scoffers are the fulfillment of one of the prophecies concerning Christ's second coming. May I suggest that you not be a scoffer, but you be a believer. Christ died for sinners, and through the new birth, he wants to make you a new creature. And as a new creature, he's preparing you for eternity to live with him forever. Some years ago, a tourist was traveling along the shores of Lake Como in southern Italy. When he reached the castle Villa Ascondi, a friendly old gardener opened the gate and showed him the grounds, which the old man kept in perfect order. The tourist asked when the owner had last been there. 12 years ago. Does he ever write to you? No. From whom do you receive your instructions? From his agent in Milan. Does he come? Never. Who then comes there? I am almost always alone. Only once in a while a tourist comes. But you keep this garden in such fine condition, just as though you expected your master to come tomorrow. The old gardener promptly replied, today, sir, today. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. And the next lesson will be prayer, God's door for blessing.
And we want to thank you, Ruth, for that great information about prophecies concerning Christ's second coming. Amen. But right now we're going to hear about the great programming found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, but what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hallelujah, we're back, and I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Tell us about your first best friend. Tell us about your first best friend. It's that time. It's open mic time. All right, and Sister Emily, who do we got with us tonight?
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, all the smirks and our hunter, my daddy.
Okay.
All right. And, of course, we got Ruth there with us. So we're going
to
have
I
Ruth.
I had to be a little sarcastic on that one.
We're
going to
start.
Buddy, Dad.
We're going to start Ruthie off with answering the question of the day.
Okay. My first friend was named Renee Harvey, and she was right next to Grandpa's one time because they had a little camper out there, and they slept all night. So what it is, we got into mischief. I climbed out the house door and locked it somehow, and Grandpa fell asleep. And we all went up to the cemetery and played Ghost in the Graveyard, and we really had a good time until somebody started shooting at us. And we still don't know to this day if there was a real gun or a bunch of BBs.
Okay. Well, now, Emily, your turn. First, tell us about your first best friend.
Well, it's awful funny he's on here with me.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
That clown.
All right. And of course, did you have any questions on what Ruthie or I presented tonight?
No, I remember one thing you and I did and almost got our fannies in trouble in school.
Uh-huh.
For the little rocket we built in the one class, and it popped the teacher in the head, the whole class busted.
Yep. And, of course, you're right, Emily. The very first best friend I had was you. So, but now, Ruthie, just curiosity, you still want Emily and I to haul that load of flat cat cakes for you?
She's in there laughing at you in the living room.
Because we heard you want them flat and round, Ruth.
She said, no, she don't want them that way. She wants to hold them and love them.
Oh. Or is it that she wants gator tail with gator eyeballs?
Or is it red-toed Alamo, gator eyeballs, and squirrel and possum pie?
Yeah, that's more like what she wants for dinner. Okay.
I think we better behave, because if Six is listening in on the Internet, I think we might get in a little hot water for goofing off.
Yeah. Well, anyways.
But
now,
we love Big Bro anyway. We got to tease him a little.
Well, since you're stuck there and Ruthie ran off on me, I was going to have her do it, but since she ran off on me, I guess you're stuck doing it, Em. You want to give us a closing prayer, and then we'll close out with Red Sylvine.
Oh, that. How hard are you twisting my arm?
Real hard.
Ouch! I better behave before I get in trouble. Oh, I better quit laughing so hard I'll set my asthma off, and I ain't got my inhaler with me tonight, Ken.
All right, so we're ready for you.
Okay. Dear Lord, we thank you for this broadcast tonight. We ask you for that soul that's nearest hell, Lord, that they roll up the white flag and surrender their life over to you, God. We're asking for all these people out here that are dealing with this COVID-19 and for all our first responders, Lord, that you'd protect them and keep them safe on their job as they go about their duties. We also ask you for all the nursing homes and their residents and patients that are in for rehab, that you'd keep them safe and away from all hurt, harm, and danger, God. I also ask you for my children down in Kentucky, Lord, that you'd keep them safe and one day make it possible for me to get down to see him, God. I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. All right, and as we get ready to close tonight, just want to remind those out there about the great programming here. Of course, that's coming. The open programming tomorrow. And then, of course, Sunday at 1 p.m., the gospel show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Monday night at 9 p.m., Motivational Monday. Tuesday, the Word of the King, which has vastly improved, so I want to invite everybody for that. And then, of course, Wednesday, the Wednesday Bible study, 7 p.m. And then, of course, Thursday, the Jumbo Braille program. We're going to have Brother Quick in again for another message. And then, of course, Friday, the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show once again next week as we continue this study on love, caring, friends, friendship, and hatred. So we'll catch you again next week. And we'll catch you throughout the week with the great programming here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless, and good night, everybody. Enjoy the song.
We'd just finished our dinner, and I'd gone in the den and turned on the TV. When she walked in and kissed me on the cheek like a million times before. And she said, honey, I know it's late, but if you don't mind, my shopping's gotten a little behind. So I think I'll drive downtown to the grocery store. Well, I didn't look up, just nodded okay and asked her to hand me an ashtray. And when she did, I reached over and squeezed her hand, and then she left. And I shuddered a minute at the thought of my world without her in it. And I reassuringly sought the touch of my wedding band. Well, I must have been dozing because I didn't hear the door, and I thought, now that's strange. I'd never done that before. But I looked up, and she was standing by my chair. Kind of snuck in on me, I said. And she smiled and nodded her head. And I told her that she looked just like an angel standing there. For a long moment, she didn't say a thing. And then she caressed her gold wedding ring. And I thought I saw a teardrop in her eye. Honey, you'll never know how much I love you, she said. And I thought of the many years that we'd been wed. As I told her that no one could be as happy as I. And then the strangest feeling filled the room. Not one of happiness, but one of gloom. And for the first time in my life, I saw sadness in her face. I reached out to touch her, and she drew away. And she told me again that ours was a love that time could never erase. And then I thought I heard a thousand voices singing, but I realized it was the telephone ringing, and that's when I saw the halo surround their pretty golden hair. I turned trembling to the receiver and heard a cold voice say that there'd been a wreck out on the highway, and I knew that when I looked back, she wouldn't be there because it was an angel's way of saying our last goodbye.